Podmoth.
Boost contains adult themes and language. Listener beware. Hello and welcome to Boozed, where we get supernatural and shit-faced. I am your host, Camille, and I am joined by my co-host.
It's your co-host, Sydney. How are you, Camille?
I am doing very well, Sydney. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Lovely. Mother's Day weekend.
Yes.
While we record.
Yes.
The hour of mothers is upon us.
They are coming, and there's nothing we can do about it.
The moms are coming. No. Well, happy belated Mother's Day to all the moms out there. I don't know that that's our, there's a few of them. I don't know if that's our main demographic, but, you know, hey. I'm sure there's a mom here or there who listens
the
to spooky podcast.
The will-be moms.
Well, I don't think they get to celebrate.
No, you know, the celebration is...
Do you mean like pregnant women or people who are pregnant? Or do you mean like will-be moms, like they're planning to someday have children? Because I don't think they count.
People planning to have babies, people having babies.
That doesn't count
for Mother's Day?
You're spreading a really big... I feel like moms are going to revolt against you spreading this wide of a net. It's already getting a little...
The spirit of Mother's Day
should be... in all of us.
Yeah, you know, you have plans to mother, and those are big plans to make. So.
Okay, but I'm not going to buy you a gift or a card.
No, what I'm doing right now is I'm wishing you well on that journey of future mothering, and congratulating you for making a decision like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then.
So happy belated Mother's Day to all.
Feel like that defeats the purpose, but okay, we're gonna feel like the message has been real diluted there at that point. And you know, we're just gonna move on from that with this flawless segue.
Flawless.
Well, here's one gift that you can give to your mother, and that is to subscribe to our podcast. Share your podcast with your moms or your mom-like figures or your future mom-like friends, according to Sydney.
Yeah.
People planning to be mom. Basically, share the show with everyone at this point. And you can find us at boozedpod.com. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikToks, all at boozedpod. And if you would like to, please give us a review on iTunes. Quick and easy, 5-star written review. Drop us a line. Tell us what you did for Mother's Day.
No, I think we're mom friendly.
I mean, I know at least 2 moms who listen, not mine.
Our moms don't listen.
No, I refuse to show her how.
And I do as well.
She asks almost every time. And I change the subject, and her attention span is so short that it works. So I'm like, oh yeah, I'll do that. And then I don't. And it's fine because she doesn't remember asking. It's great. Check out as well our Podmoth Media Network family of shows. You can do that at podmoth.network. And there is a new true crime show that we just added to the family. And there's some other spooky stories. I think there's a movie podcast in there. Just like a lovely, lovely roundabout, not a roundabout, a lovely cornucopia of shows.
Yeah, a smattering.
a smattering of interest, everything to pique your ears. I don't know what I'm saying. What are you drinking, Sydney? We're going to move on because this has become a mess somehow.
Peek your ears.
It's late, okay?
It's very late.
And I've had almost an entire glass of wine. Or cup. Not cup. Fuck. Those are the same words. Bottle. That's what I'm looking for. Bottle of wine.
Okay.
I'm
having red wine, some Sutter Home, you know?
Red wine. Just basic red. Sorry. You seem so disappointed in my musical interlude there. Jeez.
You know, that's one of those songs that play at Red Lobster. And you're just like,
I just want to enjoy my Cheddar Bay biscuits and not have to listen to this song. Oddly enough, I feel like I was in a Red Lobster the last time I heard that.
Of course you were. Don't play this Tommy Bahama playlist. But yeah, just some red wine tonight. And yeah, that's where I am.
Lovely.
How about you? What are you drinking? Or what were you drinking?
I still have a little left. It is the Hive and Honey Riesling. Mm. So a white wine, sweet wine. And yeah, drinking it out of my lovely boozed wine glass. This is a hot mess. Here's an ad.
Hey everyone, my name is Eddie, producer, legend, and host of My Crunchy Podcast over on the Podmoth Media Network. If you're looking for something chaotic, somewhat messy, and very incomprehensible, then go stream My Crunchy Podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So stop searching and start listening to all your new faves from the Podmoth Media Network team now.
So let's get into this week's story. I do want to say, actually, before we start, thank you for those who were patient with us last week. Life got in the way and we had to skip an episode, but we are back. And I am planning a special episode to come out very soon. So make sure you keep coming back. I'm going to try for the next episode to be the special episode, but I make no promises as usual. So it'll be sometime within the next 30 days. That's what I'll say. We're gonna have a super special episode that will fit into some recurring themes of the show for the past year and a half that we've been running. But on with our tale for this week. Sydney, how do you feel about Leonardo DiCaprio?
I like Leo. Mm-hmm. I think he's a very good actor that has grown more and more as he got older.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad he finally, you know, got his just desserts, the good kind.
Okay.
And
aren't all, oh, okay, no, never mind.
So, you know, when people say that, then it's like,
they got your just desserts, right? It could be good or bad. Gotcha.
So I'm glad he got that Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
We'd all been waiting on it. And I'm a fan.
What did he win the Oscar for?
Reverend, the Reverend, where he fought the bear.
Oh, would that be the Revenant?
Did I say the wrong thing? I saw the movie, I promise.
It's
what is it called again?
The Revenant.
Revenant.
Yes.
Not reverent.
You made him a reverend.
No.
Well, I never saw The Revenant, but we are talking about revenants today. Did you know that a revenant was a supernatural creature?
I did not know that.
It is. And it does kind of tie to the movie. Again, I've not seen the movie, but I read a brief synopsis about it. So apparently, I guess in the film, he's an outdoorsman type of pioneer guy, and he gets attacked by a bear, and then his like friends think he's dead, so they leave him, and then he survives and then has to like find his way home alone in the wilderness. Is that like a good?
That's, yeah, I don't remember if it was, I think he had already branched off by himself before he was fighting that bear, but essentially that's what happened. Like he won, and then he had to like find his way back to his group.
And like everyone thought he was dead.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Yes.
Well, the reason why that was probably called the Revenant is because revenants are a form of undead creature that originate from European folklore. So a revenant is supposed to be the spirit of a deceased human being that has returned to the mortal plane as either a visible ghost or a vengeful spirit that has possessed a dead body, typically its own body. Mm. So we're talking something akin to a zombie or a vampire, something that was once living, then died, and has now returned to a type of life. And revenants are actually seen as kind of like the precursor to zombies and vampire lore, because, I mean, we're talking about like this was revenants or revenant type creatures, undead creatures of this type have been talked about since like ancient Greece times and 12th century Europe. So a little bit before the popular vampire or zombie tales. But so for reference, for more pop culture reference, I'll say a revenant would be someone like the character of Laura in the American Gods book and TV show, the book written by Neil Gaiman. She plays Shadow's wife. She kind of, he places a special coin in her grave, and somehow that brings her back to life. And so she's a revenant, and she's like dead. And I know in the show, when kind of in the book as well, they kind of always allude to her being dead because there's always like a presence of flies. She's not necessarily a rotting corpse, but right, there's always like kind of flies around her to kind of represent that death-like atmosphere. And there's the character book, the comic book character Spawn.
Oh, I love Spawn.
So Spawn is kind of like he's a revenant, but also kind of a demon because he's brought back, but he's brought back under certain circumstances and he's given these demonic powers. Hmm. So he kind of toes the line. He's somewhere in between. Another good popular example would be Eric Draven from the film and TV show The Crow.
Oh, okay.
The film, of course, starring Bruce Lee's son, Brandon Lee, who tragically died while filming that movie.
He did.
You know, Bruce, always with us. Always. Good to have you back, sir. So now, again,
I ask, would Blade be considered a revenant?
Blade's a vampire, isn't he? Isn't he like half human, yes, half vampire?
Yeah.
So, good question, because I'm about to get into why a revenant and a vampire aren't exactly the same.
Okay.
So while they may seem similar to maybe a zombie or a vampire, specifically to a zombie, a revenant will differentiate because they maintain a level of intelligence and a memory, and they have a distinct goal or purpose. So like a zombie is just eating flesh and brains, really kind of a mindless creature in most cases. A revenant can't necessarily turn someone else into a revenant by biting them or infecting them. So that's also why kind of like a vampire also differentiates. So a vampire is undead. They have more autonomy. They have more specifically driven goals, a bit more like a Revenant, but a Revenant seems to be just kind of like on a different playing field.
Yeah.
They're not as autonomous, I think, as a vampire is. You know, a vampire is just maybe kind of like trying to promote vampirism, turn other people into vampires, have his little cult, you know, his bevy of people and followers. He has some sort of goal for power or everlasting life.
So you can't really be a revenant if you are immortal.
Well, I mean, vampires and zombies can be killed. I mean, they're not necessarily...
I guess that's true.
I mean, in a way, vampires are immortal. Yes, they're actually, you know, typically seen as kind of somewhat of an immortal being, but they can clearly be killed. As a revenant can also be killed. We'll get into how you can kill a revenant as well. I think maybe vampires just have a bit more power in some ways and more autonomy, just different kind of goals in life, I suppose.
Yeah.
Is the best way, especially like what we think of modern vampires. Like they are, for all intents and purposes, people just who happen to be dead and can't go out in the sun in most cases. We won't get into Twilight at all. So a revenant is more of, we'll get there. We'll get there. The word itself, revenant, does derive from the French for revenir, which means to return. And revenant means one who has returned from the dead. Now, beliefs in souls returning from the dead was somewhat common during, I said, as the 12th century. And a few accounts that we get about revenants come from one particular storyteller named William of Newburgh. I don't know how that's specifically pronounced. Newburgh would be like the lazy American way to say it, I suppose. And that he lived reportedly between 1136 and 1198. And he wrote this book, Historia. And it was really an account of, he kind of traveled around and he collected stories and gossip and folklore from all of these different areas in the country. And he put them all in this book. And one story he hears about revenants. And this isn't the one or only stories about revenants that are told, but one story involves a man of, quote, evil conduct who escapes justice. He flees to another city. And he decides to go get married while he's in the new city. But he starts to suspect that his wife was cheating on him. So what he does is he hides. He decides to hide in her bedroom. He hides on her canopy bed, four-poster canopy bed. So he hides up at the top in like the canopy where he can't be seen, but he can hear everything that's going on. And lo and behold, his wife and her lover start getting it on beneath him. And he's just in a fury. He's going to confront them in an effort to get down from the canopy. He's all angry and he falls and like dies.
Thousand ways to die.
So yeah, he falls, he hurts himself, he dies. So now as Newburgh describes, old William there, a Christian burial indeed he received, though unworthy of it, but it did not much benefit him, for issuing by the handiwork of Satan from his grave at nighttime and pursued by a pack of dogs with horrible barkings, he wandered through the courts and around the houses while all men made fast their doors and did not dare to go abroad on any errand whatever from the beginning of the night until the sunrise for fear of meeting and being beaten black and blue by this vagrant monster. So basically he was buried, they gave him a Christian burial, and after he was buried, he returned from the grave at night And there was usually a pack of dogs that were following him around. And the villagers started to see him walking the streets, and they all recognized him. It was him back from the grave. They all knew he had died. And now he's walking through the streets, kind of terrorizing everybody. And these pack of dogs are just kind of like following him and barking at him because he's a living dead person. So it says that there are some townspeople that were killed by him. And so the town decided to go after him and stop him. And as William puts it, thereupon snatching up a spade of but indifferent sharpness of edge and hastening to the cemetery, they began to dig. And whilst they were thinking that they would have to dig at a greater depth, they suddenly, before much of the earth had been removed, laid bare the corpse, swollen to an enormous corpulence, with its countenance beyond measure torgid, and suffused with blood. So he's swollen with a lot of blood. He's also buried further up in the grave than he should be. Like, he's not buried as deep as he should have been, or he was, so to say. While the napkin in which it had been wrapped appeared nearly torn to pieces. So he was wrapped in a burial shroud and it looks like it's been torn apart. The young men, however, spurred on by wrath, feared not and inflicted a wound upon the senseless carcass, out of which incontinently flowed such a stream of blood that it might have been taken for a leech filled with the blood of many persons. Then, dragging it beyond the village, they speedily constructed a funeral pyre, and upon one of them saying that the pestilential body would not burn unless its heart was torn out, the other laid open its side by repeated blows of the blunted spade and, thrusting in his hand, dragged out the accursed heart. This being torn piecemeal and the body now consigned to the flames.
So they tore apart his heart?
Yeah. Dug it out of his chest, ripped it to pieces, then threw his body into the fire.
That's like, if you're trying to, you know, we're gonna make sure you're gone this time.
Yeah, exactly. And allegedly he was never seen in the town again. So allegedly it worked. In another story that William Neuberg tells is of a woman whose husband recently died. The husband revives from the dead and comes to visit her at night in her bedchamber. And he, quote, not only terrified her on awaking, but nearly crushed her by the insupportable weight of his body. So this poor lady's waking up and her dead husband is basically smushing her to death. Which, you know, typical, just trying to get a good night's sleep. This happens for 3 nights. And the revenant then repeats the nocturnal visits with other nearby family and neighbors. Quote, thus becoming a serious nuisance.
So this guy's just trying to, he's just trying to crawl in bed and get some sleep too.
You know, he's just looking for some warmth, some love, some cuddles, perhaps, you know. Yeah. Now, eventually they get rid of him by having a bishop write a letter of absolution for the man's perceived, you know, sins in life. And he also absolved anyone who was opening up the tomb. So they opened up the tomb and they put the letter of his absolution on his chest, and this tomb was sealed up again. And allegedly he was never encountered again in the night times. No more nighttime cuddles from him. So that one, they didn't have to go through as many corpse desecration steps.
Yeah, that feels a little neater.
Yeah, a little nicer. Yeah. So there is also a story of an English abbot of Burton. And he tells a story about there are two peasants who run away and suddenly die from unknown causes and are buried. but, quote, the very same day in which they were interred, they appeared at evening while the sun was still up, carrying on their shoulders the wooden coffins in which they had been buried. The whole following night, they walked through the paths and fields of the village, now in the shape of men carrying wooden coffins on their shoulders, now in the likeness of bears or dogs or other animals. They spoke to the other peasants, banging on the walls of their houses and shouting, "Move quickly, move, get going, come." The villagers became sick and they started dying. So the bodies of the two men were exhumed. Their heads were cut off. Their hearts were removed. And that seems to have ended the spread of the sickness.
Again, very thorough.
Gotta make sure it sticks. Gotta make sure it sticks. There was one other chronicler called named Walter Mapp. And during the 12th century, he wrote the story of a, quote, wicked man who lived in Hereford, who revived from the dead and started wandering about the streets of his village at night, calling out the names of those who would die of a sickness within 3 days. And so the villagers asked for help, and a local bishop said, dig up the body, cut off the head, sprinkle it with holy water, and rebury it, which seems to have solved the problem.
Sprinkle the head with holy water?
Well, no, sprinkle like the corpse with holy water, not just the head.
What am I doing with the head?
Well, you cut it off.
Where am I putting it?
Mm-mm. Huh. I don't know. They didn't get that specific in this story. I guess, I mean, maybe you just sprinkle the head. Maybe you're right. Maybe you sprinkle the head with holy water, and maybe that, since the head is kind of like,
you cut it off, sprinkle the head with holy water, then put it back in with body and rebury.
Well, I mean, he said dig up the body. So you're digging up everything. You're cutting off the head, sprinkle it with holy water, and reinter it. So maybe you are just sprinkling the head with the holy water.
But yeah, and then rebury everything, right?
Yeah. I would assume that, so that, I mean, if you're thinking the head is the lead, I guess, like, you need your head to do your evil things that you're doing as almost being a, like, revenant.
Yeah, almost like a baptism. You sprinkle the head.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Sure, that works. Why not? So now the, as I mentioned before, revenants, they're not necessarily specific to 12th century Europe. That name and that use of them are, but there are other cultures and times that believed that the dead could come back from the grave, such as the ancient Greeks. Now, the ancient Greeks believed in this so much that they are, there are oftentimes grave sites from ancient Greeks, ancient Greece, that archaeologists dig up today, and they will see that the corpses have been weighed down with rocks and amphora pieces. Amphora pieces being like pieces of those large pottery, like the classic Greek pottery that you see, those large vases, vases, whatever. So according to Carrie L. Solosky Weaver in Popular Archaeology magazine, for the ancient Greeks, the dead were subjects of both fear and supplication. Necrophobia, not to be confused with necrophilia, the fear of dead people, let's be very specific. Necrophobia, the fear of dead people, is a concept that has been present in Greek culture since the Neolithic period. At the heart of this phobia is the belief that corpses are able to reanimate and exist in a state that is neither living nor dead, but rather undead.
So I don't know if you're about to get to this or not, but like, is the act of trying to like bite or zombify, like, that's what's separating zombies from being I've forgotten the word again. Revenants. That's what's separating that.
Oh, it's, there are some stories of like a revenant perhaps drinking blood or ripping people apart. So there is an element of them murdering, you know, yeah, killing. I mean, you
just said the one guy killed people in town.
Yeah. So it's not that they don't kill people. I'm a revenant more often than not seems to have like a purpose, whereas a zombie doesn't.
Okay.
So a revenant, like I mentioned, you know, they were going back to the homes of their families, the homes of their wives. You know, they kept kind of harassing people that they knew in life. They were trying to get vengeance on something specific or someone specific. A zombie doesn't have that much cognition. A zombie's going to bite anything and everything in its path.
Right.
And it's going to keep going until it's killed. Another thing about a revenant is really only seen at night because it's said it goes back to its grave during the day, which is why it relates more to a vampire in that respect. So revenants weren't walking around during the daylight. They were mostly at night. And then they were always able to be found back in their coffins if you were to dig up the gravesite. So there you also get kind of that vampire-esque feel because they're living, you know, they sleep during the day in their coffins. And again, like a revenant isn't necessarily going to turn you into a revenant by biting you.
There's very specific reasons why they are up and walking around.
Right
Okay.
It's going to be more of a specificity to them. And again, we can see where probably zombies or vampires spawn from the stories of revenants and grow from that. But there are some differences still. A revenant, from a zombie, a revenant has a higher thinking pattern, you know? They actually use their brains. They just don't eat them, you know? they actually use their brains. They're probably more akin to a vampire, except, you know, a vampire's sexy, you know, like vampires are kind of like fun and cool, and you know, they have they're trying to recruit sometimes.
Black yellow is very cool.
You know, Brad Pitt in Interview with a Vampire, not bad to look at. Just saying, I might have let him bite me. Most definitely. It's a good film. Has Tom Cruise, but you know, whatever. We'll look over that. We'll overlook that for now. So medieval people also believed that corpses could rise up, but their belief was in that it could only happen while flesh and muscle were still connected to the bones. So there could be really no decomposition. If there were any kind of decomposition of that nature, then they were not able to physically come back. So researchers and archaeologists have uncovered skeletons from medieval England that were decapitated, burned, and mutilated in other ways post-mortem. The evidence in those bones backs up the historical documentation and mythological implications that ancient peoples held such precautionary beliefs and practices for their dead. Medieval people believed that corpses could rise up, but only while, again, the flesh was connected to the bones. Medieval villagers would, because of that, break the limbs of the dead bodies with hammers or stones, decapitate corpses. Your face. And decapitate corpses to prevent or debilitate anyone who tried to return from the dead. It's okay, they were dead. They waited till they were dead to break their bones. You can relax.
But they're gonna wake up.
But they won't be able to walk.
Oh, but that's right. That's why they're doing that. So that's why they're
doing it. Right. Okay. Right. Exactly. After doing all of that, though, they are still gonna burn the body. So there you go. Hopefully to destroy all the flesh and therefore preventing them from rising again. So now there aren't a lot of stories from the medieval times about revenants, but again, we have this kind of weird seeming burial rites and some reported mythology to kind of back up that there was this belief of the dead coming to life. There was another story of a Revenant. I can't remember the exact details. I believe I heard about it on another podcast, but it's, I mean, it's pretty similar to the other stories I've told. There was a person who came back to life. They were terrorizing the town, and the villagers eventually, you know, were told to, you know, lay in wait at the cemetery, to guard the cemetery, to kind of find, hopefully catch the Revenant coming out of his grave. And the Revenant did appear. He attacked the people who were standing guard, but they were able to fight back, and they were stabbing him, you know, doing this and that. But at some point, the guard either got scared and ran away or was overpowered, and the Revenant returned to the grave. And when they dug up the grave the next morning, there were marks on the body that matched the marks that the men had made in the battle with the man, his Revenant, the night before. So stab wounds and marks and beatings that was that were not on him when he was initially buried.
Right.
Therefore, thus proving that they had fought this man's corpse to another death. And then they like chopped off his head and burned his body after that to make sure he would not rise again. So, yeah, I think a little bit of the whole vampire thing comes from in a lot of the few reports. It's like their bodies always seem kind of like bloated, and they always say it's like bloated with extra blood. So therefore they think they're drinking blood or consuming blood from the people they're harassing or victimizing. So yeah, like I said, you can see where a revenant or a revenant definitely gave birth to those other stories in some way. Of course, there's different types of undead in other cultures. There's different types of zombies in other cultures. Not sure how widespread vampires specifically are. But almost every culture has some sort of undead creature.
Yeah.
That is either controlled by magic or is a bit of a ghost, or is, you know, being controlled by a person to do certain things.
Yeah.
But revenants seem, again, fairly autonomous. They just kind of come back and they do what they want until you stop them, or I guess they get bored. And then that's it. So that is the story of Revenants.
It's interesting.
More than a Scorsese film.
Yes. It. I'm going to assume from the stories, most of them, are most of them at least a little bit violent?
I mean, it seems like all of them are.
Well, the one guy just was trying to go to sleep.
So. Sorry, that's not a Scorsese film. I'm sorry. That's a totally different director.
Yeah,
it's Alejandro Iñárritu. I'm going to mess that up. I know how to say Gonzalez, but I don't know how to say his other last name. Yeah. Sorry, Alejandro. But yeah, no, I mean, he said, but he was also kind of harassing people. It's still a harassment, if not violent. He was laying on top of his wife, and he was clearly too heavy. You, yeah. Oh.
But I'm not trying to squish you.
Are you?
Just wanted
That's
to
debatable.
Also, I'm trying to get in bed.
Just trying to cuddle.
Yeah.
That's suspect. I don't know. I don't believe that. I mean, none of them are wholly harmless, it seems, from the stories.
Sure.
Excuse me.
And I guess the common thread in terms of getting rid of them is burning the body.
Yes. You basically have to destroy their ability to move, it seems like. So, you know, you have the ancient Greeks believing if they weighed them down with rocks or stones or pieces of pottery heavy enough that they wouldn't be able to physically move. You have the medieval people breaking bones. So if you're right. saying, you know, the spirit or this body is coming back to life, well, if you can't walk, you're not a problem. You can't dig yourself out of the grave because your arms are broken, then we don't have much to worry about. And then again, that detaching or removing the flesh from bone by burning or other means. Yeah, you're basically kind of how you would incapacitate any human. Rip out its heart, break its bones. Inflict harm. That would
inflict harm.
Yeah. But then, you know, you see again, you know, you have to shoot a zombie in the head. You have to remove the head from a zombie in some cases. So you stab a vampire in the heart with a wooden stake. So you have all these little pieces that come back. So it really feeds into how, you know, what I always say of like how so many things have commonalities or are the same. So it kind of proves that at one point we were probably all in the same place, or migration was such that these stories have been spreading for forever and just kind of transformed, or people built their own stories at some, but there's all these similarities.
Right. So would this be, does this in today's times, or is this such a, you know, is this such folklore that it's like not really informing like burial practices today? Like that, I don't assume this is a worry anymore, but I don't know. It could be in other cultures, they could do it just out of the, just because they had continued to do that just in case. So,
yeah, I didn't come across anything that still spoke to modern day practices. I think, you know, of course, evolution of humans and mindsets and thoughts and science, and probably more a move towards standard religious practices kind of eliminate this idea or need.
Right.
So I didn't see anything that still kind of referred to a revenant belief still existing to that degree where you would now still need to desecrate a corpse before burying it, you know, or reburying it, I guess.
Well, yeah, not necessarily like even like the desecration, but just the how and why we bury people anyway.
How do you mean?
Like apparently, like, I mean, I guess I, you know, being in a coffin is more for, you know, it's like for show. I mean, there's no reason they can't just put your body into the ground and then cover you up and that be it. And then you go back into the earth. So I wondered if like having it contained somehow may have been somehow because of not wanting them to get out or something like that.
Well, I think, I mean, well, no, because you had the men who were carrying their coffins allegedly with them as they walk.
Oh, right.
So some sort of coffin or burial has been around for or box burial have been around. Cause I mean, look at ancient Egypt, they built entire sarcophaguses and, you know, tombs. Sure. So there's always been this sense of a need to put a body in some sort of, now, of course, with ancient Egypt, that rite was more for rich pharaoh royalty type of people. Yeah. But there's, I mean, there seems to be a pretty long-standing sense of you at least put someone in a box, a pine box, a wooden box.
Right.
And of course, now with the way that we embalm bodies, just throwing a body in the ground would poison the ground more so.
But I'm saying,
so
yeah.
Yeah, I think now, kind of to your point, like now we do so much to a body before we even put it in the ground, if that's what your beliefs call for.
Sure.
You know, then it's really not a concern. There was one random story I think I heard where someone was so afraid of coming back that he requested that, you know, a needle be driven into his heart before they buried him just to make sure. Like, let's just make sure, you know. I mean, ancient Egyptians, you know, mummification, they went ahead and took out all your organs. They stirred up your brain, pulled it out. Took out all your organs, put them in little jars next to you. So there's really not a concern there that you're coming back unless you're cursing someone in, you know, Brendan Fraser's The Mummy. But which case he did have to collect all his jars to fully reform.
Yeah.
Now I'm just thinking about The Mummy.
I know you are. Okay. So come on back.
Yeah.
Stop thinking about Brendan Fraser.
Never. Never gonna happen. And Odette Fair, and let's be honest, Rachel Weisz as well, all very, very attractive people. It's a great movie. It's a classic.
It is a classic. Chef's Kiss. It's a great movie. We all love Brendan Fraser. But as the point should. Is...
Mm-hmm. What? There was a point? Okay. I'm back.
Burn the body. Break the bones.
Mm-hmm.
I had not heard of... Because I think the part that's throwing me off is that they're not... You're right. They're not zombies, right? They have a better sense of what's going on and why they're here. It's not like they're just mindless.
They're the thinking man's zombie.
Yes.
A sophisticated zombie, if you will.
Yeah. You know, they know where they're going. They know where to go back to.
Once they have goals.
They only work the night shift.
They know the value of work-life balance. That's all that
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're going to get their full 12 on and then 12 off. So.
Yes.
Interesting. How did you come across this?
I came across this from listening to another podcast.
Okay.
That's where a lot of my ideas come from these days. Straight plagiarism. No, I'm kidding. I'm not plagiarizing. They tell much better stories than I do. But primordially, that's not the right word. Primordially.
The primordial ooze?
Uh-huh. Primarily, I've been listening to Lore a lot because it's good stories. I've always really liked that show. It's one of what kind of drove me to do this show. Mm-hmm. He also is just like really good to have on as background noise because his voice is very kind of monotone, but in like a nice way. He's not like, okay. You know, he's just an easy listen, I'll say. Except for when he does his intros. I always like to make fun of his intros because he's always like, I'm Aaron Mankey and this is Lore. He does it the same way every time. He has this weird inflection on, I'm Aaron Mankey. It just cracks me up every time. Anyway, but yes, that's where I got the idea for this episode from. He does a really good episode about revenants. A lot of the stories, which are most of the stories, most of these stories come from that William of Nürnberg. So you'll hear those same stories. And I think the additional story I got was from him as well. So I will be sure to link to that episode in our show notes. And that way you all can listen yourselves.
Mm.
But yeah, so that's where I got. And then of course, you know, I was like, well, that's a movie, Revenant. And I kind of read a piece of, you know, how possibly that ties to the title of the movie because he was seen as dead and then he kind of comes back.
I mean, he was pretty much half dead for all of that movie with him almost freezing to death. I think at one point he had to eat his horse. And then of course the bear fight.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a lot of walking, you know? So
much like a zombie dead person,
but like, yeah, but also just with a purpose, with somewhere to go.
Right.
So yeah, very appropriate title for the film.
Yeah.
How do you feel about someone walking around not alive, not dead?
You know, of all the things, I feel like that's less of a likelihood than probably any other supernatural or paranormal thing out there.
Yeah.
I think mainly because of, you know, what I mentioned earlier, the way we bury bodies now, it's like, you know, if you had like a weird violent death, you're probably going to get an autopsy. They're going to cut you open. You're going to be dead at some point. And you know, now you're full of chemicals and your organs have been removed and put back in and all this, like, then the coffins we have are so kind of hardcore.
Yeah, tanks, they're serious. Like,
you know,
Cadillacs.
Yeah, so, and I know we're talking about a supernatural creature that is dead and comes back to life. I think kind of the better explanation for that now would be a ghost or a spirit, as opposed to just a walking body. I do have an unnatural fear of zombies, though. They make me real paranoid. I do own a machete for that reason. Not lying. That is very, very true. One of the recurring nightmares I have, it's not necessarily like a recurring nightmare itself. It's like a recurring theme, are zombies. Mm. It's like one of the only recurring themes I have in my dreams are,
but not like with attack. You making out with them like Tina from Bob's Burgers.
I wish. Dear God, no. What is it, my butt fan fiction or my friend fiction?
Yeah.
Oh, God bless Tina. You know, as much as I like to think I'm Louise, I'm Tina. Just in my soul, I know I'm a Tina. Louise is what I aspire to. And occasionally she comes out of me. But I feel like just every day me is definitely Tina. Just full of anxiety and longing. That's all. But no, not as sexy. I did have one dream about a zombie. And it was a zombie horde chasing me. And I turn around and I start throwing like tennis balls at them. I don't know where I got tennis balls from in this moment. But I was throwing tennis balls at them and they threw them back. I was like, that's not what you're supposed to do. You can't throw balls at me. What? That's not in the rules. And then I set them on fire, but then they were still coming at me while on fire. So don't set them on fire, people. That is not a good tip. Unless you can also then contain them and let them burn up, because they will chase you while on fire. When I started watching The Walking Dead, I basically binged the first 3 seasons over like the course of a week so that I could get all of my nightmares in at like one time, because I knew I was going to have some fucked up dreams, but I really wanted to watch the show because everyone was talking about it. So I have fewer of those dreams now. I'll probably have some weird shit dream tonight, I'm sure. But still zombies tend to be like the recurring thing. So I believe in zombies. I'm not sure if I believe in revenants.
You believe in zombies.
Believe in zombies.
Okay.
Listen, you saw those people taking bath salts in Florida. What did they do?
Oh, that's just bad. That's a bad trip.
They were eating people's faces.
Some trips are real, real bad.
I'm saying they were zombies, though.
They weren't dead?
When they got shot, they were. Yeah.
Well, at that point, yes. And then they were also not eating anyone's face anymore at that point.
Didn't one report say, like, they had shot the guy twice and he was still going?
I don't remember that.
Listen.
But who knows what happens. And this was also Florida, so, you know.
I'm just saying. Knows? If bath salts can make you crave human flesh.
Have you seen videos of people on like Molly or like any of these other things?
No.
They're not eating people. That's your biggest concern.
But that's like the thing, like it's very specific. It's a very specific side effect. Like having a bad trip is one thing. Like you might end up in the hospital. Trip is eating someone.
And usually a bad trip is like when the, you know, this was not just drugs, you know, this was also like things that should never be ingested mixed with other stuff. So.
Okay. But I'm saying like, if that is able to be induced by a recreational drug, it's not a far leap to thinking like it can change your brain chemistry so much so that you continue to crave human flesh, you know, like. Cannibals exist. Cannibalism is a thing that people not on drugs do. So
yeah,
zombies can be real, but a revenant, I don't know. I feel like it's more of like a ghost than maybe like an actual reanimated corpse. As they're supposed to be. What's your thoughts?
Not really like, you know, I don't feel the same about zombies. It's you. I was over zombies after the first season of The Walking Dead. Because it was just like everything during that time was all about zombies.
It was heavy zombie time. That's true. Yeah,
it was. I had to make a whole zombie apocalypse sound effects library during my internship. But that, okay. It was actually a lot of fun.
I was like, that seems like it might be neat, though.
It was really, really cool.
A lot of groaning and growlings. And
we did that. Voices. We also got to like destroy an abandoned house to just record ourselves breaking glass and kicking in doors and stuff.
That sounds awesome.
No, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, I don't know what I would do if I saw someone who I know to be dead walking right. around. I don't know what I would do. I think that would be the most terrifying thing ever.
I mean, I don't like it's there was a time where people were being buried because they were assumed dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few had to claw their ways out of their coffins. And I think there is one actual like account of a woman. So then during that time, that's where you get the graveyard shift from.
Mm-hmm.
Because then people were having to work the graveyards at night. Yeah. And there were bells attached to coffins. So, like if the person actually woke up, they could ring the bell and they could be dug up.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say there's one story of a woman who they thought she died. They buried her. She was somehow able to get out of her grave. Or before they were able to bury her, she like woke up and then ended up living for like another 60
oh my God. See,
but this and was before you... they embalmed people, so it's like
right
had, you know had she
once that's done right. It's over
right yeah
and this is why and I watched you know 1,000 Ways to Die. This is one of those reasons why I am not I'm not against donating my organs, but I don't put that I'm an organ donor on my driver's license okay. because I don't trust the people who come out there to
make accurately, some decisions.
Yeah, to accurately assess that I'm dead and before they just start taking things and trying to airlift my heart. You know, off to someone so that they can, you know, save a life, which, you know, good, but I need it because I'm still alive.
I mean, I don't think they're performing those surgeries like on the tarmac on the side of the road of your accident. I feel like they take you to the hospital first and they make sure that you are not coming back.
If there's some, you know, God forbid a child or like Prince Philip or somebody like this. And they're like, we got a fresh heart. It's right here. It's ready to go.
If anyone would have given a fresh heart to Prince Philip, I would have kicked them in the fucking teeth. Are you kidding me? That man by the time he died, let him go. No.
What I'm saying to you is, had I, you know, crashed into a pole in London and then they find me, they're going to give my fresh heart over to Prince Philip.
No, they won't. Someone. Because you're black.
What I'm saying is, you better make for damn sure. I agree with the guy that wanted the needle in the heart. You better make for damn sure I'm dead before you start just trying to take organs and things.
Yes. I'm sure they do.
Yeah. So
I feel like medical science has advanced just enough to not allow for the premature harvesting of organs.
Have you seen 1,000 Ways to Die?
I remember the show, but mm-hmm. I mean, I feel
it
like
it happened on there.
Okay.
They would have had that guy hanging out in the canopy. That would have been one of the episodes.
Oh, gosh. Well,
this is very, I mean, it's scary to think about, but I think it's probably the least likely of all the things we've covered on this show.
It seems a little more out there.
Yeah.
Than anything else. So. Yeah.
But to like exhume someone and them to have like fresh wounds on them for before, like,
right.
That weren't there, that would be very scary.
Like, how did those get here? What?
Yeah.
This one seems a little bit more extraordinary tales that, you know, yeah. people tell to scare children or
yeah, to make you stay in the house.
Right. Be at home at night. Don't go wandering about the woods or the graveyards or, you know, I think, and like anything, though, some of the, I guess, giving credence to it is that it's being accounted by reputable people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have abbots and, you know, scholarly type people who are being told these stories or reporting these stories and repeating them. So people of reputation, and the fact that it crosses multiple cultures and times.
Yeah.
So there's someone somewhere saw something probably that they believed to be a reanimated corpse or someone coming back to life. Maybe it was that whole thing of like, well, y'all thought I was dead and I wasn't, so I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I dug myself out of that hole or tomb that you put me in. And it maybe just grew from there, but certainly not something I'm concerned about these days.
So I guess my final question is, Billy from Hocus Pocus, is that a revenant? Or what would we call that, a revenant?
You buck-toothed mop-ride firefly from hell! Ah! I've waited centuries to say that.
I would call him a revenant.
I think so.
He is brought back by magic specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And he is following orders. So he's maybe more of like a, there's a word for it. And like, I don't want to like offend anyone, but it's like typically known in like Vodun or Voodoo or Santeria. I know those are somewhat derogatory terms, but I don't know the proper terms right now. They aren't coming to me. But there is a bit of a practice of being able to control a dead body through magic or, you know, through that kind of like voodoo doll, so to speak, experience. Again, I can't remember the exact details right now, so I apologize. But he's more along the lines of that. Now he does come to have his own sense of morals and actions. So I would think he's a revenant more so than a zombie. Absolutely. Good one. I like that.
Nice. Well, that was very interesting, Camille.
Well, thank you, Sydney.
I hope you didn't unintentionally give yourself nightmares tonight.
You know, I'm due for probably a good zombie dream anyway. Okay. So maybe the alcohol may or may not aid in that. Maybe it'll dull the senses enough to where I'll just sleep tight.
I hope so.
Maybe it'll make everything real, real vivid and I'll accidentally punch something like I tend to do when I sleep like that. So you never know. It's a grab bag. So it's always a mystery with me.
Okay.
You know, whatever. But I hope we haven't given you any nightmares, dear listener. But little bit of a short episode, so we will leave you here. Sydney, where can the people find you?
The people can find me on Instagram and Twitter under Sid_N_PLAY. I spell it again because some of you maybe don't know how to spell play.
You could spell it PLEIGH.
You could, like,
or PLAIT, like yo play.
Also pronounced play. You're right. So
it's good to give people guidance, you know.
Yeah. I'm on TikTok, but I still don't have content. our host, however, has become very famous.
Oh, God.
So, Camille, let's just talk about. You know, let's talk about how we can lead the people directly to your TikTok content.
Yeah. So if you want to see my one popular video on TikTok, which isn't even technically a TikTok video, it's a video I had made years ago and uploaded to TikTok.
Still counts.
I had nothing else to share there. You can find me at the Camille Monet. Spelled M-O-N-A-E, unlike the painter, M-O-N-E-T. Don't spell it that way. You won't find me. But you can find me at the Camille Monet on all social media platforms, including the TikToks. You can see my one popular viral video, semi-viral video. I don't know. It has slowed down. It's starting to pick up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I think I might break 100,000 likes. Ooh. I don't know for sure. It has like 90,000 views, I think, right now. I don't know how many likes. I mean, no, there's people who have like 1.1 million likes alone. So just I'm not. It's not a compliment. I did not want this to happen. I did not expect it to happen. I didn't really want it to happen. And now it's become like this weird pressure that I do not like. Because I'm not going to give them. Funny. I'm not going to provide anything as good as that ever again. And TikTok actually already muted one of my videos because I guess I said some words I wasn't supposed to. I don't know. I was talking about cults and that video is muted, but it has captions on it. So you can still read what I was talking about, but can't hear it. Oddly. So, well, anyway, that's where
she is. Some very funny videos on TikTok that you guys should check out.
Please don't sell it, oversell it. It's moderately amusing is what I'll go with. Moderately amusing. But you can also find the podcast on TikTok. It's at Boozed Pod. You can find us at Boozed Pod on all other social media as well, and at boozedpod.com. And we're also on Patreon. Thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. It is patreon.com/, Booze Pod. That's right. If you would like to become a monthly contributor to our show. Well, that's all I've got today, dear Sydney. Anything else?
And if anyone else wants to come and be a guest, we're still definitely looking for guests. No?
Yes. Please save me from this hellscape of me having to research a new topic every week. It's getting dicey, guys. I'm running out of ideas here. But would love to have a guest again. So you can email us at boozedpod@gmail.com and give us a shout. Let us know when you'd like to record and we'll make room for you to join us. But yeah, that's all for this episode. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. And we shall see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Boozed. Our theme was composed by Vincent Parrish. Sound production is done by Sydney Johnson. You can find us on social media at Boozed Pod. That's B-O-O-S-E-D Pod. If you would like to support the show, please go to patreon.com/boozedpod to make a contribution. Thank you for listening. And don't forget, get boozed.